So the following is what I said before, Kal Nidre. We have this Sfarim all talk about why the holiest day of the year, why Yom Kippur begins with Kal Nidre, which basically is a declaration that all of our vows and oaths are null and void. And it really did not fit into, it doesn't seem to fit into the theme of the day. It just, you know, we would expect that the day would begin with, atonement of sins or that kind of stuff. Tshuva. Instead, the day begins with Kol Nidre, which is just an annulment of all vows and oaths. And a big deal is made about Kol Nidre. You know, we see that people that ordinarily wouldn't go to shul just make sure to be there at Kol Nidre. It's just a real it's a big deal is made about it, and we need to know what is it that it stands for? What is it all about? There's another question that I had. That is that we find that Aharon was not able to go, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur, with his everyday golden garments. The eight special garments of the Kohen Gadol had gold in them, and the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to wear these garments on Yom Kippur when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rather, he would wear white garments, white linen garments. And the reason for this is, Chazal tell us, is because Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger, is that the prosecutor cannot be the defender. Meaning that gold represents the sin of the golden calf. And since Yom Kippur is a time to defend the people, the Jewish people, to defend them against their sins, it is not a time to bring up the memory of old sins. So, therefore, no gold is worn in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the place where Aharon went to atone for Bnei Yisrael, where the Kohen Gadol goes to atone for Bnei Yisrael. So, gold is not worn on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because in Kateger Nasa Saneger, the prosecutor cannot be the defendant. Is it gold? Okay. So, my question, and this. Right. Anyway, but my question is, which is, I think it's a very strong kasha, is that since indeed Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger, that the prosecutor cannot be the defender, so how is it that Aharon HaKohen, out of all people, was chosen to be the one to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur? Out of all people, Aharon HaKohen was the one that had affiliation with the Chet HaEgel. How can he be the one to represent Bnei Yisrael on Yom Kippur and to be the defender? Why don't we say Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? Now going back to the Parsha of the Egel, we have a pasuk there it's just a pasuk that makes absolutely no sense. It says there that Aharon saw the eagle that they had made, and that they had proclaimed before the eagle, Ela Elohecha Yisrael. These are your God, Israel. So instead of Aharon rending his garments and falling on his face and crying out, it says that Aharon proclaimed Chag Lashem Mocha. Chag Lashem Mocha. A holiday for Hashem tomorrow. Mom, it's such a plea. How can Aharon say such words? When you see Klal Yisrael at its lowest state possible, worshipping Avodah Zarah, to say Chag Lashem Mochar, to proclaim that tomorrow is a holiday for Hashem. There's the Pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois that talks about Aharon going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. It says, "Bizois Yavai Aharon al Kodesh." With this, Aharon should come to the holiness. And the pasuk goes on to list all the things that Aharon has to bring with him when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Medrash has difficulty with this entire pasuk, with these words, "Bizois Yavai Aharon al Kodesh." With this, Aharon should come to the holiness. It seems to be totally extra. The pasuk could have just said that Aharon should bring this and this. Why does it have to give us this introduction? With this, Aharon should come to the holiness. And the Medrash goes on to list umpteen number of different things that we find in the Torah that are called Zois. Whether it's Torah, whether it's Bris Milah. B'zois Yavai Aharon al HaKadosh. With Torah, Aharon should come to the Kodesh. With the Zchus of Bris Milah, with the Zchus of this, with the Zchus of that. So I have another approach as to what Zois might mean when the Torah tells us B'zois Yavai Aharon al HaKadosh. With Zois, Aharon should come to the Kodesh. What the Pasuk is referring to. And I believe in order to understand this all, we have to realize that each and every one of us has a very, very holy neshama, a godly neshama, chelek elikam imal, part and parcel of the Rabbanu Shlalem himself. And due to the fact that we have such a neshama, we all have tremendous potential. We have strengths that are beyond our own comprehension, that are beyond our own imagination. And our avodah is to live up to that potential. And the biggest avera a yid can do is to underestimate themselves. And it is not only the way we have to look at ourselves, it's the way we have to look at our fellow Jews as well. And no matter how low another Jew might look to us, we have to be able to look at that Jew and say, you know, at this person in his present state, in their present state, might look like they are a bit low, but their potential, they have a tremendous neshama, they have a tremendous potential. They have a brilliant tomorrow. Their today might not be so beautiful, but they have a brilliant tomorrow. And when we look at ourselves and we feel terrible about what our past has looked like or what our present looks like, we have to be able to look at ourselves and say the same thing and say, you know, my today does not look that brilliant, but I have a brilliant tomorrow. Due to the fact that I possess a neshama, I have the ability to overcome my past. I have the ability to overcome my nesiyonos achayim, the tests that I have in life. I have that ability. And therefore, no matter what my today looks like, my tomorrow can be tremendous. Aharon HaKohen was able to look at Klal Yisrael at their lowest state, when they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. and he was able to proclaim at that point, Chag Lashem Mochar. Today might looks terrible, but you can't give up on any Yid. Aharon HaKohen wasn't the one to say that Klal Yisrael is doomed. Chag Lashem Mochar. Their today looks terrible, but their tomorrow can be a holiday for Hashem. Tomorrow, their tomorrow can be a Chag Lashem. There is no one more appropriate to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur than Aharon HaKohen. To tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, your children, their today might not look that great, but they deserve a kapara because Chag Lashem Mochar, because their tomorrow can be tremendous. Chag Lashem Mochar. Dafke, due to Aharon saying Chag Lashem Mochar, that is what allows Aharon into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yom Kippur. There's a pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. The pasuk says, "Lu chachmu yaskilu zois yavinu lachrisam." If they would be wise, they would understand this. What? Yavinu lachrisam. They would understand their what is coming. They would understand their future. I believe what the pasuk is saying is if a yid would have seichel, lu chachmu, if they would have wisdom, yaskilu zois, they would understand this. They would understand that they, no matter what level they are on today, their achrisam, their tomorrow is tremendous. And the Torah calls this zois, lu chachmu yaskilu zois. What is zois? Yavinu lachrisam, the understanding of a person's potential, that is what is called zois. And the Torah tells us, "Bizois yavai Aharon al HaKodesh." It is only with this concept of zois that Aharon can come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Aharon can tell the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, "Yavinu lachrisam." Take a look at their tomorrow. Take a look at their potential. Take a look at what a yid can become. Take a look at their brilliant future. The Chag Lashem Mochar. And we have to know that the one that trusts in our potential the most is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We say every morning when we wake up, "Moedani lefanecha melech chai v'kayim." We thank you. Living King, she'chazarta b'nishmasi b'chemla, that you returned my neshama with compassion. Rabba emunasecha, your faith is great. We're saying to Hashem that Hashem's faith is great, and the literal understanding is that you returned my neshama to me. You have Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you have faith in me, that even though my yesterday, I botched up my yesterday and the day before that, you still have faith in me and you trust me that I am going to guard my neshama and I'm going to return my neshama as pure as you gave it to me. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one that has the most faith in that machar, in that tomorrow, in that koyach, in our potential, the potential that we have. When a person utilizes their potential, there's no greater nachas, there's no greater pleasure that a yid can give to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam than using their potential by understanding their potential and thereby overcoming their yetzer hara, thereby overcoming their nesyonos hachaim, thereby devoting themselves to avodas Hashem in a way that a person never thought they could. There's no greater nachas to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam than a person utilizing their potential. And there is, as I said before, there's no greater sin than a person underestimating their koiches, than a person underestimating their strengths. And perhaps this is what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. It it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Al Yevoishu Bi Koyvecho Hashem Alekim Tzevakos. We actually say this in the Rosh Hashanah davening. We ask Hashem, David HaMelech asks Hashem, Al Yevoishu Bi Koyvecho. Those who trust in me, Hashem, should not be disappointed. Al Yevoishu Bi Koyvecho. Those who trust in me should not be disappointed. Hashem Alekim Tzevakos. Literal understanding is, Hashem, David is speaking to Hashem, but perhaps there's something deeper here, and David HaMelech is telling us Al Yevoishu Bi Koyvecho, that we shouldn't disappoint the one that trusts in us. And who is that? Hashem Alekim Tzevakos. The one that trusts in us the most is the Rabbeinu Shleim himself. And when we underestimate our koiches and we give up on ourselves, we disappoint the Rabbeinu Shleim, because he trusts in us. And perhaps that is how Yaakov Avinu overcame the Satan, the Sar Shel Esav. It says in the Pasuk, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov remained by himself, Vayeovek Ish Imoy. And a man, which is, we know is the Sar Shel Esav, wrestled with him. The word Yeovek is the Rosh HaTevis, the first letters of Al Yevoishu Bi Koyvecho. Yaakov overcame his Yetzirah because he knew that the Rabbeinu Shleim trusts in him. And he knew, I can't disappoint the Rabbeinu Shleim. If I give up, if I let the Satan overcome, if I let the Satan win, then I've disappointed the Rabbeinu Shleim. The way Yaakov overcame him was Yeovek, through Al Yevoishu Bi Koyvecho. The inyan of the whole concept of nidorim, of a neder, of a vow, is a limit that the person places upon himself that has not been imposed upon him from heaven. The nether represents limiting oneself in a way that one has not been limited from heaven. That is the greatest avera that a man can have. Limit, and obviously the symbolism is the greatest avera. Limiting oneself, limiting one's strength, limiting one's potential in a way that it is not imposed upon him from heaven, that is underestimating oneself, which is the greatest aver. Yom Kippur, which is a day of committing oneself to live up to our potential, that day must begin with annulling every nether, any limit that we have placed upon ourselves must be annulled. We have to identify ourselves with our true potential, which is the potential that has been given to us from heaven, which is a limitless potential, a potential that we can't even imagine. And Yom Kippur is the time to commit ourselves to utilizing that potential, to living up to that potential, and bringing tremendous nachas ruach to the Rabbeinu Shleim. And even though this was the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it's never too late. We can always make this commitment to remove all those limitations that we have placed upon ourselves, and to commit ourselves to living up to our potential. So that's what I said by Kol Nidre. I'd like to share with you, if possible, another word.